And that is Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding. It is the hymn we're going to be taking a look at on this Wednesday, December the 7th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. And normally we do this on Tuesdays, but yesterday the Reverend Mark Smith was on assignment, and so he's in here today. What was it? You had a funeral yesterday?
I had a funeral yesterday, right.
Well, yes. I'm glad you called me. And
okay, rub it in there, Tom.
No. After I made the promo, and we decided to go on Wednesday. Hark, a Thrilling Voice is Sounding. It is an Advent hymn. And who was it by?
It's by Coswell. Let's see. Edward Coswell.
Well, actually,
he's the translator. It's an old hymn. It goes back to the Latin 5th to the 10th century. I mean, could it sometime during that time?
Yes. We don't know for sure, and we don't know who wrote it.
But the translator is Edward Coswell.
Yes, because he went from Latin to English.
Right.
Do your people read Latin?
Well, we do the Nunc Dimittis, and yeah.
Oh, you sing Nunc Dimittis?
That's what it's called. And the Venite, and the Te Deum.
I'm not even sure you know what's going on.
I tell my people,
church.
We will now see the Nunc Dimittis, and they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
And they've got to know some Latin, right?
And then they begin, let us. Yes. Yeah, remember, you're the guy who can't remember where you give the common or the individual first.
Okay, this is your morning for rubbing it in, isn't it, Tom?
No, because I know you're going to rub it back. That's why they love us so much, yes. Would you be so kind as to read the first stanza?
Okay, and this is another good John the Baptist hymn, you know.
Oh.
If you're looking for another John the Baptist hymn, this is one of them. Hark, a thrilling voice is sounding. Christ is near, we hear it say. Cast away the works of darkness, all you children of the day.
Now, that doesn't sound very Lutheran.
Well, it's in the Lutheran service book.
Well, yes.
Couldn't be more Lutheran than that, right?
Right. But if you tell someone in order to get to heaven, they have to cast off the works of darkness, how are they going to understand that?
Yeah.
What's the common sense understanding of that?
You know, I've got to completely come clean on my own.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's not the message of John the Baptizer.
No.
How do we cast off the works
Repent.
Of God? Yes. You know, here's a question I asked last week, because we had just talked about the sinners who were taken into Babylonian captivity. And my question was, who would disagree that we are any different than they are? And nobody put their hand up.
I bet nobody ever puts their hand up in your church.
Well, sometimes...
You're opening yourself up for all sorts of things.
I know. No, actually, sometimes they do because they listen to the Monday program.
Ah, yes.
And sometimes I talk. So what I'm trying to do on Mondays now is not talk about the text I'm preaching on. But, you see, when you ask that question, I'll ask it again. Are we different than the sinners at the time of the Babylonian captivity? And the answer, they'll say no, because, you know, we confess we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment,
right,
all this
right,
kind of thing. But the sermon showed that we are really different sinners. There's two kinds of sinners in the world. And I use John the Baptizer.
Those that let have sin has dominion over them. And they don't have any faith. Or those that daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment, but we are saints in Jesus Christ. We believe in him. Those are the two different types of sinners. Forgiven and...
Well, I didn't use that.
Okay.
I used those... What was the difference between those who went into Babylonian captivity in contrast to those of us today who are in the church? The difference is... They never repented, and we do. And I made the point, tell me if you agree with this, that only a Christian can properly repent, only a believer.
Right. Yeah, I would agree.
Because remember in the King James, they talk about Peter repenting and Judas. They use the word repentant, but it's two different Greek words. The metanoia, which is the proper Greek word for repentance, is Peter's. But Judas's is the kind of repentance where...
just sorry for what he did. You know, sorry.
For the consequences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like you go to somebody in jail and say, you robbed a bank, are you sorry you robbed it? And they say, yeah, I'm in jail. And then you ask them, well, if you hadn't been caught, would you be sorry? Oh, no, I'd have the money. And that's the repentance that all other religions have. It's impossible for them to be contrite over their sins because they're spitting in the face of Jesus. They don't believe in Jesus. And so even though Pentecost baptism didn't come about, the fact is that anybody who truly repented, even in the Old Testament, were considered believers by God. Because they were repenting over and contrite over their sins for what they had done against God. And I ask people, what was the definition of repentance? And I almost always get this answer, that we're sorry for our sins. And I say, no, that's not repentance. That's the result of repentance. And I use the Luke 15 passage, the lost sheep. Remember what Jesus says at the end?
He goes... rejoice.
There's more joy
over one sinner who repents than 99 that need no repentance.
And a lot of people think it says there's more joy over one sinner who is found. I said, no, that's not what the text says. And so God's definition of repentance is him finding you.
Right, right.
He goes out
and finds the lost sheep.
Puts it on his shoulders, carries it home.
Back.
And here's what I said then. The more you get to love Jesus, the more you are contrite over your sin.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Because you realize more and more how much he has done for you.
Exactly. So how in a sermon do we get people more repentant is, believe it or not, we preach the gospel.
Right. That's right. That's where the power comes
from. Preaching the law and telling somebody, well, you should be sorry for this or that, doesn't help at all. Because they know they should, but they're not. And it's kind of like a kid when I was just growing up. Yeah, I love my parents, but, you know, it didn't bother me that much if I made them angry or something, or, you know, they'd punish me or whatever. But then when I got older, you know, you really feel bad when you hurt them and this kind of thing, because your love is greater. And that's true in a marriage also.
Sure.
We just had a marriage last week at Trinity Orchard Farm. And what was interesting, I knew they really loved each other quite a bit because they would apologize to each other if they did something wrong.
Uh-huh.
And that takes a humility and a real care towards someone because...
oh, didn't you know? Love is never having to say you're sorry. Don't you remember the movie Love Story?
Oh,
love is
boy.
Never having to say you're sorry.
No.
Boy, how wrong that was.
No, I know Louise loves me because she's always apologizing for stuff she does wrong. And, that's kind of interesting that love grows or sorrow grows the more love comes. Because if you don't have that strong love towards Jesus, you can go ahead and sin and a lot of times it doesn't bother you. And what do we do with people who refuse to repent? We excommunicate them. And we do that because we love them and we want to make them aware of the standing they are in with Christ. Now, we don't do that. I was at St. James 28 years and I think 7 people we had excommunicated. So it doesn't happen that often, but 4 of them came back to the church. 1 died and 2 still haven't repented. So, kind of keep track on that and see what happens. But even if the 2 who haven't repented die, you still can't say they went to hell.
No.
Yeah, because you don't know what was in their heart at the moment of death.
Right.
We have people who are attempting suicide. They jump off a bridge. And when they hit the water, sometimes they live. And they'll tell you that as I was going down, I realized I was really pretty stupid and I asked God for forgiveness. So you just don't know at the moment of death where a person's heart is. But I think John the Baptist, remember what it was? He had a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then he said, the one coming after me is greater. Why?
He says, well, he describes it, whose sandals I'm not worthy even to carry.
And that he's going to baptize you
with water. No, he's baptized you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Yes, yes, yes. And on Pentecost, I was talking to the youth confirmands at Trinity Orchard. I said, where was the fire? And they couldn't remember that it was the
tongues of flame.
Yes, on their heads. Right, right. So fire is kind of a sign of the Holy Spirit. And remember what the symbol for baptism was in the early church?
The shell.
Yes.
Which still is.
It still is a symbol. But she kind of shows you, therefore, that didn't mean they needed to be dunked into the water. You don't need a shell.
Right. Right. Good point.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that, but you're right.
Yes. Why would they have a shell if they were always dunking people?
Well, and, you know, when it talks about I will baptize you with fire,
yes,
or he will baptize you with fire, that's the same word. Baptizo is used for the flame just sitting on your head.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, that's what happened. The tongues of flame. They didn't immerse. It didn't get immersed in flame.
No, no.
But the same word is used, baptizo.
And it doesn't indicate how the 3,000 were baptized that day, remember?
Right.
But it would, for example, the jailer, who was really afraid, he and his household got baptized. They don't have swimming pools in households. Yeah. We kind of know that. So that's a lot of information. But as I find, those who don't baptize infants, it's not that the baptismal verses are helpful. They have a different view of God. And I'm not saying it's a view that will send them to hell, but they can't imagine how a baby who seems to be innocent would ever be sent to hell. And we don't know what God's decisions are in that area because he hasn't revealed it in the scripture in regard to babies who die who aren't baptized. But I found 6 ways in which God saves children apart from baptism.
Oh, boy, you got to tell us that.
Oh, really?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm 6. That seems like a lot.
I know.
Go ahead. Tell us can you tell us what they are?
It would take too long. I'll give you 2.
Oh, okay.
How were the male babies?
Circumcision.
And how were the females? That's right. That's all. Whatever. There is no answer in the Bible. But we know they're part of the family of God.
That's right.
And so God had a way of saving the baby girls that he's never revealed to us. And so that's how I went through. Well, for example, John the Baptizer is another one. When did he receive it?
In the womb.
In the womb. So that was apart from water baptism.
Leap for joy in the presence of his Savior.
And then another way, what did Jesus do with children? Suffer the
little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God.
And what did he do?
Picked them up and
he
laid his hands upon them.
And blessed them.
And blessed them.
Well, they were saved. So who knows? And I had a whole sermon on that. There were 3 or 4 other ways from the Bible where it's clear he saved them. It's just that there's only one way that he's assured us of.
That's right.
And that's infant baptism. I know some pastors, if the parents were intending to baptize the baby, then the baby's saved. I mean, that's, you know, because of Christian parents. The fact is there's no evidence of that in the Bible, for sure. So it was kind of interesting doing that because you run into people. Robert Price had 10 children, and the last one died before baptism. And here's what he said in class. if I go to heaven, well, when I go to heaven, he knew he was, and the baby's in heaven, I will be in bliss. Yeah, when I go to heaven and the baby's not in heaven, I will still be in bliss. I understand the first one. I can't grasp the second. And that's why I live by faith. That was really good. Because it was his own child he was talking right. about. So that's the comfort we can give, that the decision of God will not bother us. I mean, I can't imagine being in heaven knowing that people I knew well and loved aren't there. Some pastors, they try and make up theology. They'll say, well, you won't remember those people. You know, well, there's no evidence in the Bible that's true. So heaven's really going to be, I got a lot of questions about heaven.
A lot of mysteries.
Yeah. The first one is, are there going to be White Castles there? All right. Stanza two, Pastor Smith.
Okay. Startled at the solemn warning, let the earthborn soul arise, Christ its Son, all sloth dispelling, shines upon the morning skies.
Now.
All sloth dispelling.
What's that mean?
It's...
You're the one who just said it.
I don't know, but that line struck me funny.
Yes.
All sloth dispelling.
Okay,
lazy pastors.
Kinda. You see, this is from the Latin, and I think it was slothia. I don't know. We don't have. Yeah, I'm waiting for that new book to come out. The it's an analysis of all the hymns. Tells you who wrote them, under what circumstances, and often
yes.
in the old book, they had the original language. So this one would be in Latin, and then we would know what that word sloth is. But, you know, sloth is just you're really not caring, you're lazy about your sins, this kind
apathetic.
Of thing.
Apathetic.
That's a good way of putting it, yes.
Lazy.
And when you say Christ, it's Son. Remember how Son is spelled?
Let's see. I'm trying to think. I think it's spelled S-U-N, isn't it?
Yes. See, a lot of times you can't tell.
Christ, it's Son. Yes. S-U-N.
Yes, because it sounds the same word as S-O-N. In fact, one of the kids said, you said son. And I said, no, don't you know the difference between son and son? They all laughed. Sometimes Jesus is described as the Son, S-U-N, not just the S-O-N,
right.
of God.
Son of righteousness arise,
yes.
with healing in his wings.
Yes, with healing in his wings. And that's almost Christ, its Son, all sloth. And the word arise here comes about us. Let the earth-bound soul arise. What does that mean?
Let the earth born. Was it talking about the resurrection?
No.
Startled at the solemn. No. Let the earth born.
I don't think it was. It was what Paul talks about, that we should always have our mind on heavenly things,
uh-huh.
not on earthly. Remember that verse? And for our soul to rise, that would be what that would mean, I think. That we now have our eyes fixed on Jesus.
Right, right, yeah. That's, as I look at the entire verse, that seems to be
yes.
the sense.
I'll read three. See the Lamb, so long expected, comes with pardon down from heaven. Let us haste with tears of sorrow, one and all to be forgiven. Now, normally you think the Lamb is in Revelation, where he appears as a slain lamb, as his ascension, but what's this like?
I think this is talking about his first coming, is it not?
Well.
With see the Lamb, so long expected.
Right.
Comes with pardon down from heaven.
Well, what are the words of John the Baptizer when he sees Jesus? Behold.
Behold the Lamb of God
yeah,
who taketh away the sin of the world.
That's what I think
it's
referring to.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Of course, well,
see,
he was 30 years old at the time, but that's talking about his first coming.
Well, that's why
his coming as our Savior, as our forgiving Savior.
Exactly. Right. But these are the words of John the Baptist.
Right.
This
You're
hymn.
Right.
See the Lamb so long expected comes with pardon down from heaven. Pardon is just another word for forgiveness, where you're no longer held accountable for your sin. But notice how we approach him with tears of
sorrow,
in order that one and all to be forgiven. And proper tears of sorrow approaching Christ would be proper repentance, because we're sorry for what we have done for him or to him. Stanza 4.
So when next he comes in glory and the world is wrapped in fear, he will shield us with his mercy and with words of love draw near.
That's
obviously talking about his final coming.
Yes, his judgment day. Did I tell you about I don't know if I told you or not, I showed a video about a car pulling into a parking lot with a policeman behind it?
No.
Oh, okay. So this car pulls in the park.
Oh, yes, I think I remember this story.
Yeah.
I think I remember.
And he takes the young man, and he has his girlfriend with him. He has him kneel down, and it appears he's handcuffing him.
Uh-huh.
But then he says, is it time to take the picture? And the young man says, yes. And he takes his hands from behind his back and presents a ring to his girlfriend. And the policeman was in on all that, pulling him over and everything.
Boy, that was...
Oh, she was shocked.
Yeah, I'll bet.
But I use that for Judgment Day. That all the folks, according to Philippians, will be kneeling, and Jesus will come to the believers and give them a ring.
Yes.
Because he's the
groom. He's the bridegroom.
And we are the...
The bride.
Yes. So I thought that was a really good video.
Yeah, that is.
And it fits right in here. And with words of love, we can now draw near to him. All right, last stanza.
Honor, glory, and this, of course, is a doxological verse. Honor, glory, might, dominion to the Father and the Son with the ever-living Spirit while eternal ages run.
What does that mean, while eternal ages run?
For all eternity.
Yeah, exactly. It's just going to keep on going and going and going. I use various analogies about how long eternity is. I say there's two mountains, and a bird flies over to the one mountain once a year and pecks on it for 5 minutes.
This is a Kurth illustration, right? Catechetical illustration.
I don't think it was Kurth. It could be.
It sounds like one of his.
Yeah.
And scratches his beak on the top of the
mountain
of granite, right? Once every 1,000 years.
Yeah, and then...
And by the time that mountain is all ground down level, that's one
is
second
that
of
Kurth?
Eternity.
Interesting.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. In fact, I was just reading his catechism, because he's got some great symbols, like with the triangle of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the lines going to each one, is not, is not, is not.
Yes.
And then the middle, the word God in the middle, and the line going that is. Yeah, really pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sure the listeners can't understand what you're talking about.
Well, that's because you keep interrupting. So you preaching this Sunday?
Oh, yes.
Well, don't say, oh, yes. You rarely preach anymore.
No. What are you talking about?
You got field workers.
I don't have seminary students.
Not
I don't.
Yet,
I didn't get
year.
One this year.
Yes.
So I'm preaching all the time.
Yes. And what's your Wednesday theme? Are you getting through the alphabet?
Yes, we are. We're starting with John the Baptist tonight.
Tonight.
In fact.
What letters are they?
J is for John the Baptist.
Oh, J. Okay. So you're having 26 sermons.
little devotions.
Yes. And tell us what time it is, where.
Yes, 7 p.m. at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church at Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington Road intersection, 8646 New Sappington. And join us Sunday at 9 a.m. service.
And I'm at Trinity Orchard Farm tonight at 7, but the more important event is at 6, where we have a dinner.
Uh-huh. I'll bet it's a good one, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the choir's doing it.
They can cook out there, boy.
Till tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz. God bless.
It's the Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.